On February 21st, 1947, the British informed the U.S. that they were no longer able to continue supporting Greece and Turkey, which were under this Soviet pressure. Now, Greece was in the midst of a civil war between communists and non-communists, and they were in desperate need of military aid. Turkey was still being threatened by the Soviet Union, so President Truman stepped up to the plate, basically. On March 12, 1947, he addressed the Congress saying, "I believe that it must be the policy of the United States to support free peoples who are resisting attempted subjugation by armed minorities or by outside pressures." He requested that Congress authorize sending American military forces into Greece and Turkey and spending $400 million to implement what would become known as the Truman Doctrine. And this policy was to show Stalin that the United States was not going to go back into isolation and just let him grab what he wanted scot-free. In effect, the United States was going to try to militarily contain the Soviet Union, keep them from expanding any further. And that, my friends, is going to take a much larger military and a lot more money to pay for weapons and personnel than during a time of peace. Okay, so you have an iron curtain surrounding the Central and Eastern European countries, keeping them separate from Western Europe. And what's taking place behind that iron curtain? Well, a one-party system, communism, where there's no freedom of speech, no freedom of the press, and no freedom of religion. Actually, if you go back to Karl Marx and his ideas, you may remember that Marxist doctrine insisted that religion was harmful to society. So atheism was the official communist position on religion. That meant that it became increasingly illegal throughout the communist countries to function as a Christian. Group meetings like church were restricted or forbidden. Baptism, printing Bibles, teaching children about the gospel, all of that got Christians into lots of trouble, like go to jail and don't get out for years kind of trouble. But while the communist leaders were seeking to oust religion, God raised up an unusual servant to take encouragement and Bibles right to the persecuted Christians. His name is Brother Andrew, and his organization is called Open Doors. Now, when Brother Andrew graduated from the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade Training School in Scotland in 1955, God called him to go to communist lands, closed lands. When he got there, he discovered that the believers were rich in their faith and hungry for the encouragement that other believers knew of their plight, of their persecution. And he also learned that there were very few Bibles at all. Sometimes even pastors had little access to a Bible. And Brother Andrew determined that he would do all he could to encourage these precious persecuted believers by going in person and by bringing Bibles. Now, you understand it was illegal to take Bibles into communist lands. They were actually worth a fortune on the black market. So a person smuggling a lot of Bibles could get in serious trouble. But Brother Andrew, along with a few helpers, prayed that God would get them across the border with his life-changing cargo. And God answered their prayers. Now, if this sounds fascinating to you, I think it is, I would like to encourage you to get Brother Andrew's book, God Smuggler, and discover how amazingly God led him through each and every difficulty for the sake of those behind this iron curtain. There's no boundary too hard for God to penetrate and nothing too hard for God to accomplish. Hallelujah. Okay, returning to a war-devastated and a divided Europe with the iron curtain in place, the U.S. implemented something called the Marshall Plan, and that was to provide aid to any European country in order to stabilize these European countries and help them develop their economies, get past the whole thing of the war. Now, all the European countries outside of the Iron Curtain jumped at the offer, and they started to regain their footing very quickly, and even to prosper with the help of the $10.2 billion coming from the United States. Western Europe, that's the west of the Iron Curtain, it began to thrive, while behind the Iron Curtain in Eastern and Central Europe, things remained fairly grim and fully communist. Now, Berlin, the capital city of the Nazis, was divided, remember, into four zones, which soon functioned as two zones, basically the Western zone, zone, which had the French, British, and American parts, and the Eastern or Soviet zone. Now consider that the city of Berlin was inside the overall Soviet zone of occupation by about 100 miles, okay? So you have a little pocket of Western freedom in a city surrounded by miles and miles of Soviet-controlled territory. Well, when the Soviets learned that the Western powers were intent on allowing West Germany to become its own entity, an independent state separate from East Germany, which the Soviets controlled, they reacted, you might say. On June 24th, 1948, Stalin blocked all road and railway access to the Western zone of Berlin and cut off their electricity. That meant that West Berliners would have no source of energy and no food or other products. Not nice, Mr. Stalin. The plan was to starve them out and end the discussion of two separate Germanies, but it didn't work. The Western Allies took to the skies in what is known as the Berlin Airlift. They brought in all the food, all the supplies, all the coal, even massive generators, everything needed for survival. They brought it all in by plane. By the end of 11 months in the spring of 1949, it was so organized and so efficient that planes were landing, offloading their supplies, and taking off again within 6 minutes. It's an amazing story. Well, finally, the Soviets gave up, turned the electricity back on, and allowed normal forms of transportation to proceed.